Let us all say amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to my mansion, robe and a crown.
Amen.
And I'm reminded of what John would say as he's in exile on the island of Patmos, as he writes to those seven churches in the Asia Minor area, and God will wipe away all the tears from their eyes.
Amen.
No more pain, no more sorrow. And I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to that day when I don't have to go through all the unnecessary changes of this life.
Amen.
Now, don't misunderstand that. I'm not saying I'm in a hurry.
No.
But I know one day he's going to call me from labor to the other side. It's really good to see everybody this morning. I just really hope all is well with you. I want to encourage you as this year starts to draw to a close, 69 days, and this year is going to be over with. And the question is, what have you done for the past 200 and some days? Have you really been holding to God's unchanging hand? Or have you allowed that old evil one to stray you, to misuse you, to cause you, to hinder you in moving forward for the Lord? Well, I just stopped by this morning to encourage your heart and to remind you. Title of the lesson, Why Am I in the Body of Christ? Huh? Why am I in the body of Christ? You know, all of y'all look good.
Amen.
Y'all supposed to smile, you know. I mean, when people give you a compliment, you're supposed to react, don't you? You all look good. You're dressed nicely. But why have you and I been saved from our sins? And church, and I believe we've been saved for purpose. And that purpose is to let men and women know that there's a better way in life. Life is not that difficult. I'm glad somebody said amen, because it's not. It's difficult because we make it that way.
Yes.
Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, round about verse number 5 and following, Peter says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. If God cares for us, what's our problem? Us. We haven't cast all of our cares upon him. And then Peter says, be sober, be vigilant. Is there a time to be watchful? What do we got to watch out for? Huh? Is he coming?
Yes.
He already here.
Amen.
And if we're not watchful and careful about guarding our souls and the souls of other men, guess what? A lot of us are going to be lost. And so Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And you know, he likes it when he can divide you and I in the body of Christ.
Amen.
He loves it, matter of fact, when you go this way and I go this way and we can't come together because of the blood. He loves that.
Amen.
But I just stopped by this morning to remind you why you are in the body of Christ. You have been saved to save somebody else.
Amen.
God has blessed you for you to pay it forward. Amen. And I want to encourage us and remind us why we're in the body of Christ. I have no greater job than the job of proclaiming the word of God. And guess what? You have no greater job than showing the world that he's alive and well, because you ought to be able to see him in me. That means you have the right spirit. That means you got the right attitude. You're loving the Lord. And you got smiles on you. That's right. Because how are we going to change the world if the word don't change us? And so this morning, I just want to draw your attention to Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul writes these words to the church at Ephesus and reminds the believer that God has placed each and every one of us in the body as it pleased him. And I can't stress that enough.
Right.
I'm not in it because I'm in it. I'm in it because it pleases him. And you know why you're in the body of Christ? Because it pleases him.
Amen.
Those of us who have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ and went into the watery grave of baptism. Do you not know you said, I'm willing to do whatever you command me, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46, Jesus says, why call me Lord, Lord? And do not the things that I command you. Why are you in the body of Christ? You have been saved from your sins to help someone else out of their situation. And if anyone can tell somebody about sin, It ought to be us. Amen. And if anyone can show them how to get out of sin, guess what? It ought to be us.
Amen.
Well, I'm glad one or two of you agree with me. Where the rest of y'all at? Look at what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. And bound around about verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastor teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why am I in the body of Christ? You're in the body to edify me.
That's right.
Amen. You're here to feed me.
Amen.
But you're looking for me to feed you. Well, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to feed you. But you ought to be feeding me. And you know how you can feed me? With your smiles, with your motivation, with your dedication. Yeah. Why? Because we are connected together whether you like it or not. Amen. And if we're members of the body of Christ, everybody needs to know his responsibility.
That's
Amen.
True.
From the pulpit to the back door, each and every one of us need to know that God has placed us in the body to grow the body. That's right. You know, and if the body stops growing, you can't blame the preacher. You can't blame the elders. No, you know who you blame? Anybody got pocket mirrors? Take them out and look at them. Because that's who you must blame. Because he's placed us all in here but for one purpose. We live in a world that is decaying every single day.
Amen.
Who gonna make the difference? The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6, after God looked around and said, the world is in a mess, he said, who can I send? The prophet Isaiah said, Lord, here am I. Send me. Can he say that about you? The world we live in, church, needs some examples, needs some role models. It shouldn't be basketball, baseball, or apple pie. It should be Jesus Christ. But the only way they're going to see the example of Jesus Christ is when you and I get up off the pews and get out there. Get up off the chairs and get out there. Yeah, I won't be politically correct on them chairs. But he says in verse number 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. What is it about a child? I thought she was going to come up here and help me preach. But she's ready. She's willing. She's able to move. How about the rest of us? You probably saying, get that baby. Come on, work with me. Because here in this text here, Paul says that we should not be like children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sliding of men and cunning craftiness where they lay by in wait to deceive. Verse 15, he says, but speak the truth how?
In love.
And I'm learning, church, that when we have agape love, when we're able to communicate and remind one another what this thing is all about, guess what'll happen to the body? It'll grow. It'll move. Why? Because when we speak the truth in love, guess what? A lie has no place. And if you weren't here Friday night, you sure did miss a good time.
Amen.
Well, we had a good time talking about what constitutes gossip. And so the next time you're in a conversation with someone and they use the word but, you butt and stop them out. Don't. Those of you who hear you, the rest of y'all, you see me later. But he says in verse number 16, the Bible says, but speak the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joins together and compacted about, that every joint supplier. You understand what Paul is saying here? See, my feet supplies mobility to my body. When my feet hurt, I got to take care of the feet before I can move. Come on, y'all. And if we're the body of Christ, and if the church is not moving, gotta look and see what's wrong with the feet.
Amen.
And all of us are part of the body of Christ. He says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted about according to the effectual work and the measure of every part, that increase of the body unto edifying of itself. How? And love. See, I told you. You know why you're here? You're here to give me some encouraging words.
Amen.
You're here to give me a smiling face and say, Stan, it's rough. We're going to be all right. Amen. And somewhere down the line, church, when we have that type of attitude, we'll change the world out there.
Yes,
when you and I can come together in the midst of all of our trials and tribulation, hug, cry, snotting,
yep,
and say, it's going to be all right.
That's
what all motivates us to a higher plateau. Church, I don't know, someone said being a Christian is a bad thing. You know why? Because most of us look like we've been sucking on lemons. But that ain't true. That ain't true.
No.
Because a child of God that understands he's been saved from his sins have a mindset that's out of this world. He knows that the God of heaven has endured him, endowed him with all of the power that comes from the word of God. That's why Paul said God did not give us a spirit of timidity or a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of a sound mind. And churches, if you have a sound mind and understand the power that God has given you, what stops you? What can hinder you? Nobody, nothing on the face of this earth hinders us but ourselves. And so Michael Jackson said, I'm starting with a man. And I'm learning that when you start with you, don't nobody else have to tell you anything else. He goes on to say in verse number 19, whom in past feelings had given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all cleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off the conversation, the former conduct of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Why am I in the body of Christ? I'm in to serve somebody else. I have been cleansed from my sins to help someone else see that Jesus Christ is the way on this time side of life. Point number one, saints, we have been prepared, we have been saved to serve other individuals. That's right. Our job, our responsibility is to help other people out of darkness into the marvelous light. And how do we do this? By living our lives in such a way that men and women are drawn to the cross merely by our example of life. John, 1 John chapter 1, and look at what John says in reference to the light. See, church, when we show men and women that we are the light and that the light shines in us, guess what? Men and women will change their lives. John, 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 5, John said, this is the message which ye have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all our sins. See, church, we're the light. We're the salt. We're what the world needs in this day and time. It needs you and I to stand up and show the world that in the midst of everything that goes on, God still reigns supreme.
Amen.
And he reigns supreme because you can see him right here in my life. And church, I want to encourage us. God has prepared us to prepare the world in which we live in. Look at the world we live in. I mean, it used to be wrong to do certain things.
Yeah.
Now you praise them for doing what's wrong.
Yeah.
And when you do what's right, don't they kind of crucify you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And somewhere down the line, church, you and I must stay motivated and enthused in the world in which we live in. We must remind ourselves that the world needs me, and it needs the attitude that comes from the word of God to be seen in me. But the only way you're going to have that attitude is you got to understand the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And guess what? If we're going to change the lives of those we come in contact with, we got to surrender our will and pick up the will of the Father. Point number 2, remember, you've been saved for somebody else. You haven't been saved just because you look good, just because you dress good, just because you got a pretty smile. No, you have been saved because somebody else needs to be saved. But look at what Paul says. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and round about verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and round about verse number 1. You've been saved to help someone else see salvation. Look at what Paul tells Timothy. Verse number 1, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast seen in me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to who?
Faithful
men. Why faithful men? Because faithful men are going to teach other men how to be faithful. How do we change the world in which we live in? They got to see Jesus in us. And if they can see it one at a time, then guess what? The world will make a change because it'll see Christ in us. He says, and the things you've seen in me, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man strive for mastery, he is not crowned it, except he strive lawfully. Consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. See, we've been saved, church, to help someone else out of darkness into a marvelous light. But see, in order to help someone out of darkness into a marvelous light, we must be the example.
Amen.
I can't say it enough. When fathers are examples to the family, you don't have to worry about the family.
Nope.
When fathers and mothers are example, the children will fall right into place. Mm-hmm. And when the preachers and the elders and the deacons are example of how to do what God said, you don't have to worry about the church. Mm-hmm. The church will fall right into place. And then every member will understand his or her responsibility in the body of Christ. I want to remind you and encourage you, we've been saved to help someone else out of salvation, into salvation. But see, we must be the example. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 through 58. We must be steadfast and unmovable. We must be the example. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. 1 Peter, Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12. Paul says, work out your soul salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, we must be the example. And let me show you something about being the example. When we are the example of doing God's will, you know what God does for us? He gives us a power to do that. Amen. He gives me the power to preach his word. He gives me the power to live a powerful life no matter what transpires, because I've learned something about him. If I depend on him, he'll take care of everything else. Amen. And somewhere down the line, church, that's what we have to do. Let me show you something. Ephesians chapter 6. And look at around about verse number 10. I want to show you. God gives us the power to do everything we need to do for him. But in order to do that, we got to trust him. We got to depend on him.
Yes, sir.
And then we got to equip ourselves to do his will. He says in verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil days. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. And I'm a firm believer, if you don't stand for something, you'll sit down for anything. Amen.
Amen.
Look at the world we live in. We'll stand for anything, or will we? He says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all things, take the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We've been saved, church, to help someone else to be saved. Final point, remember, the lost needs us. We don't need the lost. The lost sounds like an oxymoron, don't it? The lost needs us to be the example of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are soldiers in the kingdom of God. Amen. And our job is to seek and to save the lost, Luke 19 and verse number 10. Our job is to remind those that are in darkness that you don't have to be, because you can come out of darkness into a marvelous light. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 17 as I close. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. See, why am I in the body of Christ? I'm in here to reconcile somebody to the Lord. Amen. I'm preaching the word of God this morning because somebody needs Jesus. Somebody needs the watery grave to wash away their sins and be added to the body of Christ and leave here a brand new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The Bible says in verse number 18, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to which that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the words of reconciliation. If you don't make heaven your home, ask yourself, what have I been really doing for the Lord? Mm-hmm. If you're having difficulty in your life, ask yourself a question, what am I doing for the Lord? Mm-hmm. If you don't know which way to turn, ask yourself a question, how is my relationship to the Lord?
Amen.
Because God has placed us in the body for a purpose. Verse number 20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. And I want you to get verse number 20, because verse number 20 is pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. For he made him to be sin for Stan. And why do I say my name? Because if it's not personal, you ain't gonna do nothing. Yeah, it's got to be. God made Jesus Christ to be sin for you.
Amen.
Man, if that don't do something to you, check your pulse.
That's right.
You know, you might just be here. The Bible says, for he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Church, and that's what motivates me. That's what drives me.
Amen.
To know that the God of heaven could look down the court of time and see this little old man, a sinner, and say, he can do wonders for me.
Amen.
If he get out of the way and let me operate through him.
Amen.
Church, and that's the whole key. I'm learning that when you get out of the way, God can do some things in your life that you just can't believe. And I want to leave you with a passage of scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 27. The Bible says, now ye are the body of Christ, members in particular. And as God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after miracles, after gifts of healing, help, government, diversity of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gift of healing, do all speak in tongues, are all interpreter, but covet the most earnest gift, and I will show you a better way. And that better way, church, is love. And I'm learning that when we really love God, you won't have no problem loving anybody. You won't have no problem getting along with anybody. Why am I in the body of Christ? Well, if you back up into that verse there, I'm in the body of Christ because it really pleased God.
Amen.
I want to encourage your saints, 69 days, and this year is over with.
Amen.
Take an inventory. Ask yourself, what have I made a difference this year? And see, and you know that. You know whether or not you've made a difference. And if you've made a difference in one person's life, church, then I say continue to do what you're doing. I want to just encourage us as members of the body of Christ. There's going to come a time when we're going to stand before his judgment seat. And I don't want to be guilty.
Amen.
I ain't no need to need lie. I don't want to be guilty. When I stand before his judgment seat, I want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'll make you ruler over many." I don't want to hear the words, "Depart." I want to be able to stand before him and have the confidence, the reassurance that I've done his will.
Amen.
I want to encourage you, church. God is depending on you and I to carry this gospel to a lost world. And you know what? If we don't do it, he said he can get somebody to do it.
Amen.
But I want to encourage us as this year unfolds, take an inventory, take a checkup, and make sure that you're doing the will of the Father. So when you stand before his judgment seat, you won't have any problems making heaven your home. And then for those of you that are visiting this morning, I want to encourage you. You've heard the word of God this morning. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, you've heard the word. The question is, do you believe what you hear?
Mm-hmm.
John chapter 20, verse number 30. And if you believe it, are you willing to repent of your sins? Luke 13:5. Are you willing to confess that he's the Son of God? And then are you willing to wash away all of your sins in the watery grave? And guess what? He adds you to this family.
Yes.
And that's what I like about the family of God.
Amen.
We fuss.
Yeah.
Say, y'all act like y'all can't say that.
Yeah.
We fight.
Yes, amen.
We disagree.
Amen.
But we're all part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And in the body, even amidst the fussing and the fighting, we have a love for one another. We have a peace that surpasses all understanding. I want to encourage you, if you're here this morning, stand in need of prayer, boy, you've come to the right place. Got a sin problem? Boy, you're in the right place. This is the hospital right here. Boy, you talk about getting cleaned up and fixed up. This is the place. And I can put some water in there.
Yeah.
And that water will wash away every sin that you've ever committed, and you can leave here just feeling just like I feel.
Amen.
Free at last. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.